And a guy who's done it at a very high level is John Torres. Is John in the room? Now, he's a high eye, and he may not have remembered what time he was on the stage. I may have to start with Alan. How many of you know John Torres and that this is typical and that it's probably planned? He's coming? Okay, all right, good. All right. So John Torres started in the inner circle at zero. This guy has learned these systems like no one else has. Grew his business to about $600,000 a year, working with really high-end clients in West Palm Beach, Florida. Decided to go to $2 million, did that, said, you know, I think we're going to take it up to $5 million, and got to $5 million. He said, I think we'll go to $20 million. They're on track to do about $11 million this year, and now they're expanding to three or four more locations, including Houston in their business, and they'll hit the $20 million and more. But what I want to tell you about John Torres is when I went down to speak to his team, he's got 47 team members, it was the smoothest thing you've ever seen. Not only that, here's how his people walk around. I mean, they're just like, they're getting it done. They're focused. It's amazing. The community there at his company is off the charts. They do life together. So he's going to come up and share. What do you have, 20 minutes, 25?
Yes.
We'll make it 22 and a half. Please welcome my good friend, John Torres, to the stage.
Thanks, brother.
Pleasure. Appreciate it.
All right, this is exciting. Really thankful for the opportunity. I know many of you, and many of you I've just seen through videos or different webinars that I've gotten received sent to me from Howard. So, Howard, thank you, and thank you to your team. there we go. All right, thank you, and thank you to your team. This is when you look around the room and you see what they've put together, you know, excellence never happens by accident. And so I'm really thankful for all that Howard and his team have done. You know, it has been events like this. It's been roundtables like this that have had a major impact on my business. Not just the speakers that come up, not just the conversations that you have during breakout sessions or dinner, but the people you meet will have a huge impact on your business. Have you noticed that? It's the people around your table. So take advantage of that. And I just wanted to start by giving you a little bit of a story of three defining moments or three times when I clearly remember. man, I'm so nervous up here. It's amazing. Last time I spoke, it was like 20 people in Howard's event. It's like 200, 300. So I'm going to just take a deep breath. All right, here we go. All right. So I just want to give you a little bit of a context of where things started for me. I remember first calling Howard about 2001 and saying, Howard, I got some challenges. My wife is coming home. We have been blessed with five children. But 15 years ago, we didn't have any kids. But she was having our first baby, and she was coming home and wasn't going to be working anymore. I had a small janitorial company. And I called Howard and said, Howard, I need some help. And so Howard said, I think I can help you. Tell me about your business. So I said, all right, Howard, let me tell you about my business. It's March. I've totaled up my sales. I think I've got everything totaled. I'm about 250. And Howard said, all right, 250. Wow, first week of March, January, February, you're already at $250,000 in sales. That's an impressive business, John. I said, no, Howard, it's 2001. I think you misunderstood. You know, I cleaned the Chinese restaurant for $50. I cleaned an Italian restaurant for $75. My mom let me clean her tile and grout and upholstery for $120. I've done about $250 And I think Howard, I don't know what he was thinking on the other end, but I think he was thinking, I can really help you. You know, I can really, you're a guy I can help. So that was how things started back in 2001. And then a couple of years later, I had great conversations with Santiago. I've got to tell you that these are true stories because you wouldn't believe them with how things have happened over the years. But I had hired this new young lady. She's about 18 years old. She was running the front desk, and she was actually the brand new bride of my business partner that I had for 2 or 3 years. And so she was answering the phone. Now, both of my parents are from Puerto Rico, and we're an affectionate, loving, Latin, hug everyone, kiss everyone. I remember being 15 or 16, going to Puerto Rico with my parents, and I'd say, you know, that girl's pretty. Oh, that's your cousin. Oh, this girl's pretty. Oh, that's your cousin. Just you hug and kiss everyone. It's kind of like Ellen, X's and O's, right? Everywhere, X's and O's. So I remember that I hired my new employee, and here comes this new employee coming in. And you know the difference between a team member and an employee? Today, we have 50 amazing team members. We don't have any employees. A mentor says, by definition, an employee comes in late, leaves early, and is typically stealing your time on Facebook while he's there or she's there. A team member unites around your vision. A team member is committed to winning. A team member does whatever he's asked to do because that's what you do when you're part of a team. You win. You unite. You get a rally around the cause. And so back then, all we had was employees, right? So this new young lady, 18 years old, newlywed, my business partner's wife, she's at the front desk, and I had this new gentleman, and he's like me, we're both Hispanic, Latin, we're hug, kiss. He'd come in, pretty much pick her up out of the chair, hug her, kiss her, and then go do some carpet cleaning. And every day, that's what happened for about a month. And I thought, man, I don't know if that's, is that okay? Part of me says that's okay, because that's our culture, his culture. Part of me says something's really wrong here. So what did I do? I got on the phone with Santiago. And I don't know if Santiago remembers this, but Santiago was at Clean as a Whistle. And if you've never met Santiago's family, he has an amazing family. And I said, Santiago, can you help me with this? So Howard had solved my sales problem. He realized it was a defining moment. John, you got to get going. Number two, my employee, because I didn't have team member problem at that point, was, Santiago, is this okay? Could this guy just do this every day? Is that acceptable? And he's like, John, you're joking me, right? John, you're not allowing this in your company. And it's about 8:15. This poor girl dreads coming to work every day because at 8:30, here comes this guy, and she's at her desk. And so he's like, of course that's not acceptable. But that's just where I was. That's the context in which I find myself, that I didn't know anything about employees. I didn't know anything about team members. So Santiago was like, no, you need to put an end to that immediately. I would never allow that to happen here at Clean as a Whistle. So here I go. I'm like, I see him pulling in the parking lot. I'm still talking to Santiago. I say, Santiago, I got to go. Here's the girl at the front desk. She's nervous. Uh-oh, it's 8:30. Here he comes. I'm thinking Santiago just told me what to do. I hang up my phone. He gets out of the car. I'm like, hey, William, stop. And he's like, he thinks he's a drug bust or something. You know, I'm just like, hey, you've been doing this for a month. You're not doing this anymore. You come in, you go to work. I don't want you to even go by the front reception. I tell you the story just because that's how little I knew about team members. To have 50 amazing team members, and maybe 46 of them are millennials, it's amazing the changes that have happened over time. The funny thing is, I don't think he ever looked at her for the next month. He just walk in, go right by, like, you know, I'm in trouble here. So, but those are just the things that I didn't know, things that I was learning as we went. The other thing that I wanted to just give you a context, because sometimes I would see people up here and I would think there was something special about them. You know, they didn't maybe use the systems, there was something unique about them, and it's just not true. I needed Howard to help me with my sales problem. I needed Santiago to when I had coaching issues, I needed to rely on him, and he would guide me and direct me. But then there's a young lady who will be coming up here soon, and she's part of Howard's team, very thankful for her as well. And I called on Ellen and said, Ellen, our finances are a mess. Have you ever heard Howard say, you can bring in $2 million and spend $2.2? I knew that was true. So I said, all right, this is what Howard says. Santiago's helping me with team member issues. let me have Ellen come in. And she came in and she brought us to a known financial position. We have weekly financial quick check meetings. And the reason I show this slide is because one day she says, can we hold on for a second? Do you notice what happened last month? I said, no, what do you mean? She goes, you guys crossed the $1 million mark. Have you guys ever done $1 million in sales? Now, we're just all high D's. We got to go. We don't have time for all that. You know, hugs and X's and O's and we just got to go, you know? So Ellen's like, we need to stop. You need to celebrate. And she helped put in my mind this thought that, is it ever good enough? You'll hear her say that today. Is it ever good enough? Can we ever stop and celebrate? Can we ever just say, hey, well done? And so that was just another defining moment. Howard helping me with sales, part of Ellen's team helping me with known financial position. And now, today, people around our office say that. Hey, you're not going to be like a walking minus sign, right? Can we celebrate some things? Like, and that's helpful for me as an owner. And then Santiago with some team member challenges. But I wanted to try to be as helpful as I could. And this is what I was thinking. When I was sitting in your seat, and in many ways, I'm still sitting in your seat because there's still all types of challenges. There's no difference. We've gone a little bit further. The gentleman I can't wait to hear, along with all the wonderful speakers that's coming up next, is who we're trying to emulate to be like and has done an amazing job. So you're always growing. You always have challenges. But the challenges that when I was sitting in your seat, it was this. And I wonder if anyone resonates with me. My name was in all of the org chart positions. I had a deep conviction that everything started with marketing. And then I didn't care about how to do the operation. I didn't care about collecting. I didn't care about sales. Could we make the phone ring? And then I was concerned about our sales. And then I was concerned about our operation. And then we got to figure out admin at some point. So when I look at these boxes, I think, this was me. I was in every box. That was a real burden. I can tell that some of you have that burden. You feel that burden, that weight of, it's all about me. So it's great that what I'm hearing here is gold, but if I'm not going to be able to implement it when I get back, oh, man, at times it can be even more of a burden. That was the burden I had when I was sitting where you're sitting. And you've heard this. I don't have anything original. Everything I'm sharing with you are just things that you've heard a million times and things that is just how I had to walk through the process. How many of you didn't realize that gullible is not in the dictionary? You can't find that in the dictionary. Wow, sharp group. All right. A couple of times I've had people go, yeah, I knew that. Oh, wait, that's gullible. All right. If you were to look in the dictionary and it had pictures, you would see my picture next to FTI. I would be the poster boy for FTI. And so, boy, that was a burden. All right, so my name's in every spot on the chart. Not only that, but my picture would be the one in the dictionary. That's not an exaggeration. I'm not trying, this isn't like a false humility. This is a real situation. And I want to show this slide because I don't know if you know the story here, but 6 months before Blockbuster went bankrupt, they said, we're perfectly positioned where we need to be for the future of entertainment. And then they declared bankruptcy. Why? Because they weren't paying attention to Netflix. They weren't paying attention to Redbox. And I understand that this is my little disclaimer. This might not be true across the board. We probably have friendly competitors in the room. But my experience was that there were people that were implementing. There were people that were doing better than I was with not failing to implement. And the reality was, I knew, not across the board here, I knew of certain areas where people were either coming to these seminars or others, and they were doing a great job of implementing. And I knew that I didn't want to be like some of what happened at Blockbuster, where someone came in my market, and I had known specific people that had come. So these were the challenges that I faced. These were the struggles that when I began doing what you're doing, these things were at the forefront of my mind. Oh, look at this TV screen over here. This is great. All right, well, something happened, right? Something happened, and what happened? Clearly, we moved from $250 to a little bit over probably $11 million this year. What happened? We don't necessarily use this quote all the time, success comes from knowing that you did your best to become the best that you're capable of becoming. But we use John Wooden, the legendary coach of UCLA, because when an all-star came to play at his school and said, you know what, I'm the all-star, I don't really need to cut my hair. He said, oh, no, it was nice. We thought we'd be using you this year, but we won't. You'll have to come back when your hair's cut. And so he was just committed to excellence. He was committed to starting them out by saying, here's how we put our socks on. Here's how we lace up our shoes. What changed for us? How did we go from 250,000 to almost 11 million? How did we go from not having a clue about team members? How did we go from failing to implement and being the poster boy to what the Lord's done for us now? It was a conviction. It was a mindset that began to happen that said, we're going to do things with excellence. Yes, we had goals about let's get to 5 million. We had some goals about let's get to 10 million. I'm going to share with you at the end some of our new goals. We want to have 7 offices in 7 states. And if we meet people here in the restoration industry, we want to co-brand and whatever we can do. We've got some big goals, but we're not governed by that number. We're not governed by that goal. We're governed by what can we do with excellence. That began to change some things because, you know, excellent referral marketing. And I know that I'm not talking to people that have this conviction, so don't misunderstand me. Excellent referral marketing is not a donut drop. Excellent referral marketing is not, here's my referral program. Excellent referral marketing isn't, here's some cards, will you send me some referrals? That's not, here's the standard for us when it comes to excellence. Excellence is this: are we meeting real needs? Are we solving real problems? Do you understand that when we work with an insurance carrier, when we work with an agent, when we work with a plumbing company, they drive home and they go to work and they have dinner with their families and they're talking about real challenges that they have. That's where it starts if you're going to have excellence in your company. It starts for us. It's assumed that they're going to get an amazing restoration job, but this is the standard of excellence. If Entrusted went out of business in my market, this is not exaggeration. We would expect there to be a legitimate panic with amongst our referral sources because they can't just go out and find another referral source. They can't just go out and find another referral sources. We solve so many real problems. They can put a dollar amount to what we solve and what we do for them. Let me give you an example. As you know, we're from South Florida, West Palm Beach. Hurricane Matthew was heading our way. As it did, you know what all the restoration companies were doing? They were buying equipment, they were renting equipment, they were calling 18-wheelers to come in, and what they were thinking was record-breaking profits. That's what they were thinking. We got together as a team, you know what we did? We ordered an 18-wheeler from Detroit to west to Orlando. An 18-wheeler came with 115 dehumidifiers and 600 fans. We invested a lot of money to get that there. But what excellent marketing is, we said, we don't care if we ever serve a client. We don't care if we break even or we lose money. This is what we will do. We will get equipment in our referral partners' homes, in their businesses, in their secretaries' homes, in their technicians' homes, before the storm hits. Why? Because the mindset that has changed for us is excellence means taking care of our partners. But that's true in our training. It's true in the different areas. So do you see a difference in a mindset of I'm going out to see if I can get referrals, and then I'm going out to actually see if I can change and really solve legitimate, you can put a number to it, problems? That's what excellence in our referral market. I've got 5 referral marketers that are gifted guys, and none of them were doing this before. And that's what I expect of them. That's the commitment level that they have to have. Very little about us, more about our client. I'm limited on time. Oh, I got a timer up here. This is great. Secondly, this is definitely preaching to the choir. Because you know, and you just heard from Howard about systems. You just heard from Howard about training. We began slowly building Entrusted University. EntrustedUniversity.com. It's only for our company. It's only designed to take brand new team members from having no idea what our industry is about. And before they're even hired, we can send them some videos and some training manuals. They can go online. We can give them a username. We can give them a password. And they'll learn about the job before we ever hire them. We're not waiting until they're hired to then determine whether they like the job or they think it's a fit. And here's what we're doing. We're saying instead of 98% you're going to learn while you're on the truck and 2% we're going to train you on, we said no. What we need to do is we need to have a mindset that training and systems is part of our business. How do we do excellence? How can we commit to excellence if we can't keep our brand promise? How do you keep your brand promise if your people aren't trained? And so a commitment to training and development. So a new team member comes in, and their first week, they just walk around, and they go to the different departments, and they fill out a journal so they understand key terms if they're with the first responder, key terms if they're with the estimator, key terms if with their insurance, if they're with the insurance biller, key terms if they're with the marketer or the project manager. And that's what they do for the first full week. And then we want them to understand the organizational chart. And so we don't want them to wonder, what does this guy do here? Nope. They spent the whole week of orientation. That's a commitment. What changed for us with all the same challenges you have was a conviction and a mindset of excellence. What changed for us was a commitment and a mindset for training and development. And it took a long time. And we still have a long way to go. I still have the challenges that you have. That was our second mindset change. That was our second conviction. The third was this. Because I'm such a bad implementer, I need to build a leadership team. The company has to be more than just me. And so because I was in the janitorial business, here's what you learn if you're in the janitorial business, right? You can actually read magazines on how you clean hospitals and how you clean large campuses. Let's imagine there's five buildings on a campus. You can set up someone to empty the trash, vacuum, clean the bathrooms, clean the glass in one building. And then you can set up another person to do that in a second building, another person to do that in all five buildings. Or you can do team cleaning, where one person does the vacuuming in all five buildings. Another person does the bathrooms in all five. And you know what happens? They become experts at what they do. And they can do it quicker, and they can do it better, and that's all they focus on every day, day and night. That's exactly what we did. We built a team, and we found the best of the best, and we trained them, and we invested heavily in events like this. And when we built the team, I look at these pictures, and I'm like, are you kidding me? That looks like some type of stock photo. That's a good-looking group right there. Those are our people. That's not stock photo. So proud of them, and there's more that are not on that team or that aren't up there. But when we built a leadership team, we said two things. You must come with high integrity. You must come with a hard work ethic. If you bring those two things, we can give you everything else. And again, Howard taught me that. Ellen taught me that. Can you get them from 0 to 80%? And if you can, you'll have a great team. But if you're held hostage to only bringing in people with experience, and maybe they have no character, and maybe they have a bad work ethic, and they're going to start out real well, and then in a month, they're going to take your clients, and they're going to start their own thing. Why? Because you brought someone in the door as the leader that lacked integrity. And you brought someone in the door that lacked a hard work ethic. Listen, I've got a long way to go with integrity, right? I've got a long way to go with hard work ethic. We haven't arrived. I've got some family members that we've tried to interview and bring into the company, and they didn't pass. I mean, this one story is amazing. I don't have time to tell it. But here's what they will say. Wow, I'm not sure if the Pope could work at Entrusted. That's all right. That's a good thing to say. But we're committed to having people with hard work ethic and integrity. My time is fleeting here. Let me say this, because I don't want to be misunderstood. The leadership team does have a strong conviction. I'm operating on negative time here. And it's this, that we're just stewards. Really, truly, none of us are really owners, right? If you breathe in the cold, you see your breath, and then it's gone. That's essentially what our life is, according to what the Bible says. We're here for a moment, and then we're gone. And so we want to be as faithful stewards of what has been entrusted to us as possible. A country preacher said this: if you're driving down a country street and you look and you see a turtle, a big gopher turtle on a fence post, what's the one thing you know? He didn't get there by himself. And that's a conviction that we as leaders have. You know, we've got huge plans. We know that we're going to prepare the horse for battle, but ultimately there's a conviction that the results depend on the Lord. We're convinced that we want to be faithful, and the reality is someone else has smiled on us. We can't control whether I'm on a ventilator today, right? The gifts, the abilities we have been given to us. And so we have a fourth conviction that we're purely stewards of what the Lord's given us. If things go the way we'd love for them to go, we'd have 7 offices in 7 states in the next couple of years. But if you find out that Entrusted went bankrupt, I hope that when you research, you'd say, hey, these guys tried to be faithful. They strove after that. It didn't work out, or it did work out. And they're just stewards of what's been entrusted to them. And that's a conviction that we live by as a team.